Okay, are we ready to talk about threats?
Threats, yes.
Threats? One term that is central to the Red List categories and criteria is threat. Now that I have been preparing these Nature Under Threat courses, I have come across three different ways in which threat is used in red listing. And these all have slightly different meanings. So firstly, the word threat is used to differentiate the threatened categories, so critically endangered, endangered, and vulnerable, from all the other red list categories. And here, threat equals a high to extremely high risk of extinction in the wild. And this is rather straightforward, so this doesn't need much further explanation. But then, secondly, the word threat is used in a more specific manner when the red list criteria are applied to determine the correct red list category for species. So, especially under criteria B and D that include information on the number of locations of a species, the word threat refers to threatening events that are used to identify the locations, not the localities, but the locations. And then thirdly, a list of predefined threats is used in the Red List database to categorize species according to different factors that are increasing their risk of extinction. And these general factors are not necessarily spatially explicit, meaning that they are not tied to a certain location or locality. Instead, the threats in the Red List database include things such as climate change, biological resource use, diseases, human disturbance, among other things. And this can be, of course, very widespread and vague in spatial sense. So in addition, this list of general threats, of course, include some spatially explicit threats, such as land uses. But here in the database, the word threat is again used in a different way than in the criteria when the threats are tied into a location. So why are threats approached in so many different ways in red listing? Do you have an explanation for us?
Well, the first case it's easy. It's just a general term for three different categories, right? As you said, critically endangered, and vulnerable. I think that the two other cases are related, really, in the sense that when you define the locations, the number of locations is basically the number of threat events that are necessary to wipe out the species. Right, to lead the species to extinction. And then this has this spatial component because you have to identify basically how large is the threat in spatial terms, and then trying to figure out, okay, how many of these events I need to cover the entire range of the species. But you still have to identify which threats you are using. So usually it's the most important threat to which subpopulation. And this is another case where the IUCN doesn't follow the usual terms. So for the IUCN, population's entire is all the individuals of a species, and then they talk what they define as subpopulations is what in fact we in ecology define as populations, more or less. But okay, that's another big difference that we have to relearn when we assess species. You basically have to define, okay, this subpopulation has this main threat, and this subpopulation has this main threat, and these threats must be somehow coded according to this big list of possible threats that the IUCN presents. So they are related in this way that you still have to identify which threats you are talking about when you do this spatial exercise of how many events do I need to cover the entire range of the species. But yeah, I understand it can be and sometimes I never really thought about it, but yeah, maybe it can be confusing that, yeah, in one case we are talking about number of events, which might be the number of, yeah, it's not really the same as the number of threats, but the number of events to cover the entire range. In the other case, it's all this list of threats that you might you might just pick your options. Okay, the species is threatened by this one and this one and that one, and not all of them will really, usually not all of them will really be used in when you calculate the number of locations, only the main ones, the ones that will really wipe out subpopulations of the species. So they are related, but yeah, there can be some confusion in the terms.
Yeah, so what kinds of data can be used then to identify these local or spatially explicit threats that are used to separate the threatening events, that is, number of locations?
any kind of data, but it will depend on the specific threat. So imagine that the main threat is pollution in the river. So maybe some discharges of pollutants in the river that might affect some of the subpopulations of the species. Then you should know how far the effects of this each event will go downstream. So you have to have an idea how far this will go and how many subpopulations it will affect of the species. It's each event. You have to have data on how many factories you have along the river, right? So that you can also know from how many sources you have to do these calculations. If it's an invasive species, for example, you got to know how easy spread the invasive species is. Can the species jump from one habitat patch to the next one, or not really? It will need to have some help from, I don't know, from man in some way to go to the next habitat patch where the species is, where the endangered species is or the threatened species is living. If the main threat is climate change, then it's still very very unclear, I'll say, how to apply this, because climate change is quite, I mean, it will affect basically the entire planet. So sometimes we tend to consider this as it's a single event that will cover the entire range of the species. But then you have to take into account if some of the subpopulations will be more or less effective. Maybe some of the subpopulations have the chance to, for example, to occupy a new range and higher altitudes, and some of the populations won't have that opportunity. So you have to have this information so that you don't consider just a single threat event like climate change will affect the entire species. So depending on the threat, you can have you can play with all kinds of information, and that's where one of the reasons why it's so important to know the species, so that you know really what will happen to it, depending on the different threats. You really have to think about how do you think the species will react to the different events.
Yes, it really needs a lot of expertise and digging yes. into the cases and knowing your species and knowing their enemies.
Yes.